You can hit.
Say whatever. Just like say hey and whatever.
Hi, this is Adam Chansanio. The date is December 2nd, and we're interviewing Aaron Porter.
Okay.
Can you please just state and spell your name, just for the record?
Aaron Porter, A-A-R-O-N, Porter, P-O-R-T-E-R.
All right. How long have you been residing in Lancaster County?
I've been living here now for about, I would say, 3.5 years. I got here in, I guess it was either July or August of 2005. So I've been here ever since.
Okay. Why did you move here?
For several reasons. One, obviously, is that I just enjoy and have a passion and interest in teaching. And Millersville was the kind of university that really matches my gifts and my talents, my passion for teaching, and teaching at a very high level. So with the position of being a professor here at the university, that also dovetails my research interest as well. So most of the research work I do is on Philadelphia and Philadelphia lawyers, with a particular interest in kind of community studies. And so when you look at Millersville, that happened to be situated in Lancaster County, and the kind of institution that Millersville is, my interest in teaching and my research interest, particularly because of the closeness to Philadelphia, it was just a very good match. So the job brought me here, but it's more to it than just the job.
Okay. What were your first impressions of Lancaster, like the people, the town?
I came here on several occasions. I think apart from the job interview, that was my first time here, which I believe was in March of 2005. And I just looked at it as, just a very nice campus, very nice place to be, learning about the students and the culture. Kind of said that this was a pretty good environment. When they gave me a tour of Lancaster City, I just really didn't know what to think. It reminded me of more of a country kind of regional city setting, and it was profoundly different than what I'm used to. For example, born and raised in Philadelphia, it's a major urban area, and I spent a lot of my professional life, over 10 years, in the Chicago, Illinois area. So coming from the Midwest, to the Northeast, and Lancaster in particular, that was a major change.
Would you say you were welcomed by the people not only of the university, but also of Lancaster County?
I think I was very welcomed by the people of the university. And I think the county was more of a gradual welcome, particularly in certain areas. When I began to visit Brightside Baptist Church, that was very kind and very welcoming. I knew some people who went to college with me who were members of Brightside. I eventually started meeting members in the community, primarily through getting a haircut. Barbershop is the place where you start to meet folk. And it was from really sitting and observing what's happening at the barbershop. In the barbershop, you can sit for 2 or 3 hours waiting on a cut, And so the barbershop that I went to, students told me about it. So that's how I ended up at a particular barbershop. And then I'm began to start meet a lot of popular people in the community that that came to the barbershop. And then eventually I started making my way downtown and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But barbershop was an interesting experience meeting folk. The town was still very far removed.
So it wasn't the setting you were used to?
It was totally different from the setting I'm used to. It's not as metropolitan. It's not as diverse. It's not as people aren't as in gauging as I'm used to, you know, being in terms of how folk interact with you and deal with you. Just very pleasant, very warm to speak and talk to, all that kind of stuff. Willing to show you the ropes. I mean, that it was truly a very conservative place. And as I got further out in the county, that became even worse. My first experience here was with housing. So I had to deal with racial discrimination regarding housing when I first came there. So that didn't leave a good flavor in my mouth. But eventually, I end up, you know, moving into the right apartment complex. And then after about a year, I started to meet people, and they were cordial, but I wasn't really. I still found the place very, very slow, not really progressive, you know,
okay.
When I first came here.
Can you describe the situation with your housing a little more?
Sure. I had called, you know, I was living in Virginia at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been looking through the internet, and people were sending me various accounts of, you know, where I can get housing. Contacted a person that I was particularly interested in. My real estate agent at the time visited a particular site for me, and the land, the real estate agent was excited about the house choice I made. And I had talked to the people who were renting the housing. They were excited about me because I was a professional, you know, mm-hmm. teaching at the university. Mm-hmm. Until I came up, and the moment I, you know, showed my face, all of a sudden the house was rented, right. Which, you know, kind of set me back a little bit. But then I ended up finding an apartment the second or third time that I came up, and so I was a little bit cautious about the environment once that happened. And even when I moved into the apartment complex that I did, I was still somewhat reserved, trying to check out the conservative nature of the environment.
Okay. Would you describe your schooling, this elementary school, middle school, high school, just any memories that stand out to you from your schooling? Again, like if possible, like you said you grew up in Philly, like compare Philly to other places you attended school?
Are you talking grade school, or are you talking?
All through your schooling, grade school, secondary.
Grade school, I just had particular teachers in elementary school who were committed, very caring, really pushed for excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And so people like Mrs. Adams, Mrs. Clark, you know, Susan Hunter, in junior high school. I remember these people.
And this is,
you know,
in Philly?
By name. This was in Philly.
Okay. Okay.
This was grade school and junior high school. And I was fortunate to get in, you know, just ahead. Mrs. McCoy was my math teacher. Mr. Potter was a person who taught biology and chemistry at a master's in biology for the University of Pennsylvania. Mr. Potter was probably the hardest teacher I've had at the grade or junior high school level, who also pushed for excellence. And so the reason why I remember these names and these people and grade and they're teaching me in grade and junior high school is because they really stood out. They really motivated me for to pursue knowledge. I really excelled in biology. I mean, that was really my passion. In large part because of Mr. Potter, who is in his 80s now, and I still, you know, visit him in Philadelphia. All of them are excited and happy that I end up, you know, going on to college and getting the post-baccalaureate education at Carnegie Mellon before I went on to the University of Pennsylvania, you know, Ivy League, and where I earned my master's and PhD, and then traveled all over the world and won all kinds of national and international fellowships. But it all starts back with the motivation that I see early in my life. And then to go from Anderson Grade School to Turner Middle School to Central High School, I was really out of my element. You know, went to school with truly some of the best talent in Philadelphia, because at that time Central was probably rated the number one public high school, you know, in Philadelphia, second oldest in the country. And so there you just got put on a college preparatory academic track, and I was fortunate to be on that track and just learn more from the people who I went to school with and developed friendships with, and which kind of encouraged me, hey, wait a minute, I can do this college thing. Mm-hmm. And then I went on to Bloomsburg, and again, at Bloomsburg I had remarkable teachers, remarkable professors who were just committed to helping people grow and develop and to kind of live their dreams. So at Bloomsburg, you know, people like Pete Bowling, who was my economics professor, or James Sperry, who was my history professor, or Harry Ackerman, who was my English mentor. I mean, all these people played very, very prominent roles in my life. Even people who worked at the library, such as a person named Aaron Polanski, who studied with the last class that W.E.B. Du Bois taught here in the United States. So Aaron Polanski introduced me to some book by Du Bois called The Philadelphia Negro that was published in 1899. It was the first major urban ethnographic study that was done.
You read that for the class.
In the U.S., yeah. Mm-hmm. And so from there, they motivated me, encouraged, and I excelled in undergraduate school, and then went on to the University of Pennsylvania, again, out of my element, where I began to work with and had classes with some of the best, you know, talent that the country has produced, folks from all over the world at Penn. And then all of my mentors and teachers were world-renowned, from Elijah Anderson to Renee Fox to Mary Frances Berry, who headed up the United States Commission on Civil Rights for about 12 years, to the late A. Leon Hickenbotham. And I was taught by world-class teachers at Penn, which kind of opened up my whole life in terms of what the importance of knowledge and analysis and how to make contributions from an intellectual perspective and how to look at the world in which we live in terms of race and in terms of an American democracy. You know, I went to grad school, you know, riding cloud nine, and it was just perhaps the capstone to all of my educational experiences. And I then began to just use my teachers and mentors as role models. So my integrity and my ethics and character and intellect was always at the highest level that I could make it. Even when I make some mistakes, I look back to the people who taught me and say, you know, I can do this better or that better from a personal perspective. So teaching and education and schooling has really opened up my world from grade school all the way up to college and graduate school.
Mm-hmm. For the record, what's your current occupation?
I'm a professor of sociology.
At Northwestern University?
Yeah.
Where, how, and why did you choose that trade? So how did you come upon this?
I really wanted to teach at the high school level. Mm-hmm. And my I developed an interest in teaching when I was in grad school. I didn't go to grad school to get a job. I went to grad school because I was interested in knowledge and information and policy and issues of the, you know, like that, how an American democracy functions and operates, the importance of our economy and the role that race plays in our economy and in American democracy. And so I said the real need for someone like me to really motivate, encourage, and to teach people was at the high school level. And then Renee Fox, who was one of my mentors and teachers at the University of Pennsylvania, said, Aaron, you can do better than that because we really need you at the college and graduate level. And when she said that, you know, Renee Fox, who was a world-renowned sociologist in the area of medical sociologists, just had a penetrating impact on me. Mm-hmm. I mean, when she said it, I just said, okay, I'll go that route. And I did, and it was amongst the best advice she's ever given me. So that's why I started focusing on the college level.
Okay. Are there any family stories that stick out in your mind?
Family?
From when you're younger, yeah.
I don't know how to answer that, man, because, you know, as a kid, I was an athlete, you know, played basketball, mostly football, very talented, you know, very quick on the feet. You know, grade school on up, you know, I was always played with the big boys because I thought I could handle it. And it was, you know, anytime I got an opportunity, I always showed athletically, you know, mm-hmm. what I can do. And a lot of people in the neighborhood, one guy named Marty was always recruited for college and the pros and all that kind of stuff. So I thought that I was going to be an athlete. And then I had these teachers saying, my God, you have some gifts in category A, B, and C. And so all of a sudden, academics began to play and just emerged as the most important role. The thing that probably stands out upon reflection in terms of my family, educationally, became the first in my family, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunts and uncles, and all my extended family, you know, cousins and all that kind of stuff. The first one to earn, when I became the first one to actually go to grad school to earn a PhD, mm-hmm. and then to actually earn it, you know, from an Ivy League school was something that sticks out. And then I think the day that my father fainted back in 1982, Governor Thornburg had called the House personally. And, you know, my father thought it was the government calling to lock me up because I done did something, you know. They're going to send the state police after me. He just fainted on the phone, but the governor was trying to tell him that he was appointing me to the Board of Trustees at Bloomsburg University. Uh-huh. And I became the first black, you know, in 140-year history of the school at that time, you know, to be on that board. So that kind of, you know, that kind of stands mm-hmm. out. My father fainting and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and me earning a PhD.
Okay. What has changed since you first arrived in Lancaster? What has changed in Lancaster? Since you first arrived, you've only been here a few years. Can you think of anything specifically that, as far as the people or anything like that, has changed?
Lancaster is still a very conservative place to me, but I see the role that economics is playing across racial and cultural grounds, which is forcing people to look at real issues. And so the fact that Barack Obama, for example, during the primary and during the presidential election, got extremely strong support from Lancaster City and the surrounding county, that has changed. I mean, that attitude, that conservative attitude that I kind of feel in the environment has slightly changed, I think, dramatically, in large part because of serious economic issues. The fact that Lancaster Theological Seminary would hold a forum on the Reverend Jeremiah Wright and the kind of things that he was saying about race in America in some of his sermons, and to have some open-minded or critical thinkers to actually attend a session like that. That was something that wasn't happening at most of the traditional churches at the churches that I go to and stuff, a discussion of something very different than what people are culturally accustomed to has changed slightly. So I think it is still a very conservative area, but I think more liberal thought is starting to seep into the area. That don't mean it's taking over. It just means it's seeping into the area.
Okay. What's your perception of race relations in Lancaster?
I think it's mediocre.
Mediocre?
At best. I think that there are very limited discussions about race and economics in Lancaster County. I think that the demographics are such that more of a discussion and how do we resolve some of the problems that are emerging, particularly within the city itself, needs to be done. I don't know the exact demographics, but I think in terms of the black population, maybe like 11 or 12% in the city. The Latino community, broadly defined, is over 30%, maybe about 33%. And so the overwhelming city itself, I think, from my sense, is majority racial and cultural minorities. But the power base is still very much white, in my view, and the larger county is very much conservative and white, in my view. And so a real discussion of some of the things that's occurring within the infrastructures of the city and the larger institutions is slowly but surely creeping up to be some problems, I think.
Mm-hmm. If I could add something real quick, not to sound cliche or anything, but do you really feel that change might be coming to Lancaster City, for instance? Maybe under the new presidency, or like as compared to economics or the actual race relations, mm-hmm. Do you think there's going to be some major change that's going to come to Lancaster City?
I think that most folk are excited about Barack Obama, the change, you know, and I'm excited too, except I just don't wear it on my collar. I am of the view of strategic and systematic change. And I think that happens when people get very much involved in the process, from grassroots organizations to churches to institutions, to define specifically what it is that we're trying to do to improve our environment. And it's almost like a hands-on approach. So I don't think the aura of what happens in Washington, D.C. will dramatically change anything in Lancaster County overnight. I do believe that it's that part of the people who live here, part of the infrastructure of leadership, really has to come together and kind of work on this. I mean, I've been asked, for example, to be on certain committees in town or in foundations where people are sensitive to some of the kinds of things that's going on, particularly healthcare, and whether or not minorities are getting healthcare. But I can also tell you I'm the only one on certain boards, only person of color, who specifically was asked to be give us some insight on that perspective. So historic events are great. I think it's wonderful. I'm excited about it. But at the same time, I believe in you got to work at it. And I don't see the pieces coming together so far in Lancaster working on it. I just hear about projects here and there, but not a collective, integrative approach at the local level. Does it make sense to you?
Okay. So you're saying it's coming slowly more so than like abruptly with the like, is that
what you're getting at? Yeah. Okay. But even though it comes very slowly, the pieces are there. Those magnets have to come together. Mm-hmm. Okay. In an integrative, strategic approach for change. You still have a problem with jobs and training. You still have a problem with folks believe in whether or not the convention center is a good idea or a bad idea. My view is, okay, you got it, they're building it, now how do we make it work? Mm-hmm. You know, that's where I'm coming from.
Okay. Overall, how do you view the city in relation to crime and safety? Would you feel safe in Lancaster?
Lancaster is, to me, relatively safe. Although the shootings are high, the killings have been steadily increasing. There's a lot of child molesters living in the community that I'm aware of, particularly in the neighborhood where I live. Some people would say Lancaster is getting really, really bad, but you got to realize, to me, it's all relative, because mm-hmm. Lancaster is nothing compared to Philly, mm-hmm. compared to Chicago, compared to Washington, Baltimore, Newark, New Jersey, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's all relative.
Okay. Can you name one thing about Lancaster that you think that you dislike? If you were to name one thing about Lancaster that you could change, what would it probably be?
Well, you understand, I work all the time, so it's cultural and social activities are important to me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm a jazz buff, for example.
Yeah.
And a couple places in town just don't cut it for me. I'm bored in Lancaster. So oftentimes I got to go to Philly and New York. So I think, you know, to have a good time, I think we need to liven up the place a little bit. It's mm-hmm. just a little bit too conservative for me. Okay. I need a little bit more of variety. I don't mean just mean restaurants and food. I mean clubs and events that you can go to and have a wonderful yet peaceful time.
Okay. What's one thing you like about Lancaster?
One thing I don't like?
One thing you like.
One thing I do like. I like teaching at Millersville. I think that that's in the county. I like the potential that Millersville can play in terms of developing various kinds of folk. I like that. I like their commitment to teaching, and I like in the city itself, I kind of like the communities that are now emerging between the working class and the middle class, particularly around Lancaster General Hospital. I think that has the potential to be a very enriched and very diverse community. And I think that Lancaster has, they have some important seeds that need to be planted and nurtured, and so that you really feel the richness of what potentially this community has to offer. So I like the potential of something exciting can happen if, in fact, we can bring things together and integrate them and help them grow.
All right. Well, that pretty much wraps everything up. Is there anything else you'd like to say about Lancaster in general? Race relations, anything else?
No, I just as Jesse Jackson would say, keep hope alive for change, you know, but other than that, that's right. About it.
Do you have any questions for us?
Oh, no.
All right, that's good. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're more than welcome to answer all your questions fairly well.
Yeah, you covered everything much better than I thought.
Okay, no problem.